That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lafondra looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 running. 3 points running.
Hello and welcome to our World Cup edition of the Elm Park Rolls podcast. We'll be talking a little bit about Reading FC players and that. Yes, we have got three there and the TV companies are absolutely loving bringing us up. And as Reading fans, we're loving that too. But this, as I mentioned, sponsored by Phantom Brewery. They have actually released four new cans today. Well, two new designs. You can get them in a four pack. So it's the ones from the 1999-00 season. Why did I say 0-0 there? It's like hello, isn't it? And that's the home kit. And we've also got the away kit, which is iconic for me. I remember having it as a kit. It's the red and white one from 91-92. Some people call it like the prison kit, but you can get them from Phantom for £16 or four pack. But with an EPR10 code, if you put that in when you're buying them, you'll get 10% off. So get to them quickly because last time they sold out rapidly, Lansley. I think it was 3 or 4 hours, wasn't it? Who I'm also joined by.
It was crazily quick. Yeah. And yeah, they're going to be on quite a few Christmas lists. I can't spoil anything because I might have people listening, but there might be something. Who knows?
Yeah, I definitely want to get some. They look absolutely fantastic. So let's move on to Reading FC related topics at the World Cup. So we've got Loom there, who hasn't featured yet. We've also got Baba Imam, who we will come on to, who had an impact. But first of all, let's talk about Junior Hoilett playing for Canada against Belgium. He had an absolute stormer, Lansley, didn't he?
He did. Reading's Junior Hoilett. I think at this World Cup, we've turned into the Frank Lampard's Derby County of the World Cup. We've turned into Reading of like they whenever they announce a player, it's always Reading's Junior Hoilett, Reading's whoever. It's amazing. But we are the biggest club in the world. It is certified now that we've got the recognition at a World Cup. But Junior Hoilett, what a game he had. I mean, to play like he did. I know he only played. He came off after about 60 minutes, but I mean, I think there's not going to be many games where we could actually look at a Reading player when they're playing an opposition of a caliber of Belgium with players like Kevin De Bruyne, you know, and you can look at Hoilett and say, you've been one of the better, if not best players on the pitch for the time he was on. He was absolutely sensational. I was gutted for Canada. I was an honorary Canadian for the evening watching that, you know, because they played well. They played good football, Canada, and Hoilett was just integral to it. He made a couple of really good runs as well.
Yeah, I think they'd be really frustrated, weren't they, Canada, after that one. Obviously, they missed the penalty as well, but
they should have put Junior on it. I was shouting at the TV why Hoilett wasn't on it. You know, come on, get the mighty ding on there.
Yeah, he's renowned for his penalty taking moments, isn't he? In games, isn't he? Yeah. Yeah, no, I can totally see why they gave it to the player they did. But let's move on to Baba Imam. Obviously, they lost yesterday to Portugal 3-2. He was representing Ghana, but he did assist a goal. And that is what we're here for, isn't it? For those moments when he sets up like the last minute goal for Bakari, who then goes on to do the Ronaldo celebration right in front of Ronaldo. I mean, that is, I do love that, but if you look at the game, obviously, Bayram possibly to blame for one of the Portugal goals as well. But we're going to focus on the positive. He sets up a goal, doesn't he, Matt?
He does set up a goal. But unfortunately, I don't think anyone has I don't quite know how, but he hasn't been credited with the assist.
He has been on this podcast, and that is all.
He has been on this podcast, and that is all that matters. And every Reading FC fan that's out there,
forget FIFA, in the bin for so many reasons. But there's another one, isn't there?
Yeah, literally robbing assists off Reading FC players. Come on, that's the final straw, surely. Like, but no, I mean, it was a brilliant cross actually from Rahman. I mean, he hopefully he can bring that back to the mighty Royal County, and we can see some of those crosses going into the back post with Carroll or, you know, Long at the back post nodding it in. You know, that'd be lovely. It's probably something we've not seen from Rahman really at all this season. Whenever he's got into those advanced positions for Reading, he's always stopped, hesitated, passed back. You know, very few times he actually getting a cross in, and I mean, he loops it to the back post. It's a good cross and good finish by their striker as well. But yeah, I mean, I was all for the celebration. That's the kind of pettiness that I think us British can really get behind. Oh, I mean, 100%. Doing the sue in front of Ronaldo. I mean, come on. I mean, if I was a player, that would be me. That would be me every time I scored it. If like scoring,
I love the fact they celebrated it so much, but they were still losing.
They were still losing. Totally, yeah. And
it's a goal, 100%. Isn't it?
Yeah. You've got to take your moment, don't you? Like, yeah, if you're on that kind of platform, I mean, like I say, if I was there, I'd be doing it. I'd be shushing Ronaldo. I'd do the sue. I'd be like, yeah, there we go. And then, oh no, wait, we're still 3-2. Right. Time to
get there. Yeah. There was a moment of realization, but they could have also got a draw garnered, but, and the player slipped over. But let's move on from that. Let's look at the performances so far of England, obviously, who we're both supporting in this tournament. For they're pretty good.
We're here for it at the end of the day.
Against Iran, who now we know actually are a pretty good team.
Yeah, as well, yeah. Only it was only Iran that we were playing at the time.
Only Iran. But
don't get too excited. You
know, we have to like keep it in context because it was only Iran. Six goals, could have been more, looked pretty comfortable. They'd be a bit annoyed about the sloppiness about conceding two goals, but we just have to be happy with that. And we see how they go on for, because they got America tonight. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was one of those games where you just think, like previous tournaments, like, it's so cliche to say. I mean, we say it in league football all the time, don't we? When managers get sacked and, you know, a new one comes in, like, oh, if we would have lost that game 3 months ago. You look at that England game and you think, last tournament we really struggled against Tunisia in the first game, you know, took 90th minute Kane winner, and we've struggled against teams that play this, you know, very deep sitting counter-attacking football all the time at competitions, especially when it was as niggly as it was. I mean, Iran were, yeah, I mean, they were doing what they, you know, could to try and break the game up. You know, I guess you can only expect that from when you're playing, you know, a smaller team, smaller nation, you know. But the way the players dealt with it was fantastic. Bellingham was sensational. Saka, for Saka especially, to come back and play the way he did, you know, after the Euros, you know, people talked after the Euros, certain bits of redemption and that. But I mean, there's nothing. Saka and the like don't have to redeem anything. You know, they've proven their quality so many times. And the game against Iran was just so good, just to see that coming on a world stage. And then when you have the likes of Foden, Grealish, Rashford, Wilson to bring off the bench, and to, you know, two of them score, it's a good place, and hopefully they can replicate it tonight.
Yeah, let's see. I'll take any win tonight. I don't care if it's as scrappy as hell. It's all about just getting through, isn't it? But we've seen so many shocks already in this tournament. We've seen Argentina lose to Saudi Arabia. We've seen Germany lose to Spain as well. And I don't think we can really... Is taking our like kind of like English hats off, is Iran beating Wales a massive shock? I'm trying to work out whether that is. I guess it is a big shock, but it's not as big as, say, the Saudi one or Japan one. But even Japan, that's not as big as it used to be.
I would just like to say, no, it is not a shock, because Wales are a dismal football team. All their fans just like, oh, look at us, we're Wales, we're so good. No, you're not. You've got an average footballer in Gareth Bale and a bunch of championship, you know, English players, who they all are, because half of them are English bloody born. There's not a Welsh bone in most of them.
Let's not start getting into that. Let's not start getting into that. No, actually. I'm not going to get involved in where people are born and all that. God almighty. Give it a rest, big man.
No.
But we look at the best performances from the teams this season. This World Cup, so used to doing the Reading ones. I think you've got to put England in there for the best performances so far. You've got to sub Spain. I mean, they were completely trounced Costa Rica, 7-0. And Brazil, it was only 2-0. But they were dominant in that second half. They looked very, very good.
Yeah, it was interesting. Last night, I was actually at an event in London, which was in a bar, seemingly a Brazilian bar, or one that must be favourites with the local Brazilian popularity, because we were in a room out back, just having a business event, and we had a bar full of just Brazilian fans, which was quite amusing because we got running commentary on the game, and yeah, my God, they certainly let us know about it when they scored, and. I mean, when we left, they were all loving life. I mean, but Richarlison, the goal that he scored was just sensational. You know, they had every right to be partying afterwards. All the guys and girls in the bar afterwards. Like, I mean, they were singing, dancing about. I think I would if I saw Kane or someone score the goal like Richarlison did.
But most importantly, Martin Keown, luckily on TV commentary, told us. And by the way, that wasn't easy.
I'm gutted. I missed that comment. it's almost like he's a good footballer playing on the biggest stage in world football, eh? Like, it's crazy.
It's almost like he's been transferred for huge amounts of money already in his career. And actually, he has kicked a football, isn't it?
Yeah. It's surprising. It's genius sometimes, really. Like, yeah.
It is, isn't it? When you move on like to things like TV commentary, Ali McCoy should be on all ITV commentary, shouldn't he, Matt? I mean, I think that's a national consensus, really, because... why you'd have anyone else on there, I have no idea. And how Sam Matterface has replaced Clive Tilsley, I still find an outrage.
Yeah, I think that this was the talking point of the Euros, wasn't it, previously? And it's just really, really frustrating that Ali McCoist is bloody Scottish. Because I have to... like, I love the guy. I absolutely like, he's probably the best. No, he is the best co-commentator. I could listen to a match commentated by him all day. I just wish he wasn't Scottish. And Clive Tilsley. Yeah. Bring them back, please. We've suffered for long enough without them now. Like, please, you never know what you've got until you've lost it, they say, but yeah. Yeah, it's a bit of a novelty that one, isn't it? The commentary team, but more of Clive Tilsley and Ali McCoist would certainly not go amiss.
No, totally. So now, from what we've seen, what would you say are going to be the last four at the World Cup? It's very, very early, and it's very dangerous to make this, and we're both going to look really, really stupid. And there's nothing new there, is there? So Matt, I'm going to throw you in at the deep end first. So basically, I give myself more time to think about it.
Right. time for me to pull my pants down, or you to pull my pants down, I should say.
That went in a very weird direction.
it went in a very... I corrected that very quickly because, it was going very weird there for a minute. But first off, it's not going to be Wales. It's not going to be Wales. Sod off back to Wales, please, all you guys. It's not them. England, of course. We're going all the way. We can pick another three, but all we need to know is England's going to be winning the tournament.
In big here, aren't you? You just decided.
Well,
that's
of course.
It.
Yeah. We're going to have the best crit. No, well, I'm going to set myself to fall up here by saying we're going to have the best Christmas ever, but we are. Open top bus should already be planned. Book out Trafalgar Square.
This
book out
is
the turtle.
100%.
You know, oh, 100, and I'm going to love it when it gets replayed when we get knocked out in the final or the semis or last 16. Who knows? But my pick: England, Brazil. I think Brazil will be a semi-final. Spain is, I feel really generic picking these because
these are the obvious ones though, aren't they?
It's the obvious
ones.
It's
going to be a World Cup one. It's not going to be any shocks in the last four. I can't see it.
No, well, we say that, but there has been a lot of shock so far. I'm going to put my neck on the line and say that I think. I'm going to take out. I'm going to take out Spain. I'm going to go Brazil, England, Belgium, and Germany. A risky two there, I know.
Okay. You're going to stick with Germany, even despite they've had that shock defeat.
Despite the loss, yeah. And despite all of us laughing at them.
Right, I'm going to go for England. I can't go for Spain because if England play Spain, one of those two face each other. So I'm going to have to go for Brazil, France. And I think even despite the defeat, I can see Argentina being there as well.
I forgot the French.
Yeah.
I just got that feeling
it's going to be there. And if I'm being completely honest, I think who's going to win it? And it's not just off the back of this. I think it's probably time Brazil won a tournament. I just got that feeling. They look pretty strong, and they've got that.
Five of them, for Christ. They don't need another one. Come on.
Well, that's what they do, isn't it? I mean, I would love it is, but absolutely love it, but I just can't see it. I'd love to see it, though.
Oh, come on. Really? Harry Kane up top. Southgate being the one. You know, he's back to being the messiah.
Like, let's do the song. Let's do it. Come on. No, let's not.
We should have opened the podcast with like a Vindaloo new. We should have created a new intro.
Nothing stopping you for the next one, Matt. Get yourself warmed up. Get those lyrics fired up. Top goal scorer. Give us that. Who do you think is going to be
top goal scorer? I've no idea who's actually top scorer at the moment.
There hasn't been anyone who's been prolific so far. There hasn't been any hat tricks so far, has there? Which is quite surprising. I mean, you look at England. You've got six, and Harry Kane doesn't get a goal.
Yeah. He did the same at the last tournament, though, and he still ended up with like four or five goals.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not worried. Yeah.
One game. We're trying to decide this on one game. This is like...
Yeah, well, it's not about predictions, isn't it? You can't see it. It's quite easy to do at the end, isn't it? It's like...
Oh, it's... Yeah, there's no chance of getting an egg on your face then when it's the final and it's already been decided.
Just a player. Like, come on.
Player. I'm going to say Richarlison.
Richarlison?
I was going to go Mbappe, but I feel like I forgot them from my top four, so I'd be contradicting my top four.
I'm going to throw in a curveball here and say Giroud.
Oh, I forgot about Giroud as well. Yeah, I forgot
I've got a feeling that he might be the one that gets the most goals because France look obviously excellent.
They do. I'd love to see Giroud win Golden Boot.
I'd love to see Harry Kane and he lift the trophy and then he runs around the whole of like England with it. That's what it would all actually, look like, isn't it?
No, I agree on that. I'd love to see Giroud come second.
Yeah.
And for France to come second to England and Harry Kane winning the Golden Boot, lifting the trophy. It's coming home.
Yeah, it's basically what we want, isn't it? I don't think we can finish on any better note than that. So thanks a lot for listening. We will be back next week with another podcast where Matt Lansley will make some very bold predictions and we'll see how they end up.
Probably contradicting this week as well.
Probably completely. But then that's the beauty of football, isn't it? Thanks a lot for listening. Cheers.